We're going to continue, y'all. We're continuing our preaching sermon series, The Balancing Act. The Balancing Act. That we know, y'all, listen, managing life can be difficult. Amen, somebody. That trying to manage life can be hard. That trying to juggle our time and our resources and our relationships and our careers, let alone the bumps and the curves that we experience in life, let alone the stuff that we have to deal with, the issues from our past, the stuff that we're dealing with right now. Life can be difficult. It can be hard. Life can be a challenge. It can feel like you're trying to balance yourselves on one of those tight ropes where you're high up in the sky and there's nothing below you to catch you, and you're trying to make it from one side of life to the other. It's like a balancing act sometimes. And many people, they look to family and friends to help them out with life, and sometimes you get good advice, sometimes you don't. You know, you talk to crazy Uncle Joe, he's going to tell you something that's off the wall that don't make no sense, and sometimes you get good advice, sometimes you don't. Sometimes we go to books, sometimes we try to gurus and experts and all of that stuff to help us manage this thing called life. We need good life management skills to help us effectively navigate and organize our lives. But sometimes, if you felt like me, sometimes you feel like you fall off. Anybody ever feel like you fall off sometimes? You fall off the tightrope. You fall off the wire sometimes. And so this sermon series reminds us that when it comes to life management, that we should look to the one that gives us life. We should look to our Creator, the one who sustains us and helps us to maintain our lives, that we ought to look to God. And so that's what this series is all about as we try to navigate this thing called life. So last week, y'all, we talked about what? We talked about resiliency, being resilient. It's the ability to cope with, to come back and to bounce back from the negativity that we experience in life. Anybody ever been through that before? You've been down and through and you found it hard to bounce back, to get back up again. But we learned last week from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen, we can get back up again. That we who are saved, that we have now this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power would be of God and not of us, that God has placed on the inside of us his Spirit, God has placed on the inside of you his Word, God has placed on the inside his power. So whatever you're dealing with in life, those times when you feel like you fall off, you can get back up again. So let me ask you this morning, have you ever seen Gimme go wild? You're looking at me strange. Have you ever seen Gimme go wild? Well, maybe this video clip will explain my question a little bit better. See, now I set some of y'all off already. Miguel, some of them look like, if that was my child, fill in the blank. But let's be honest, y'all. That children throw temper tantrums. They have emotions that go wild. But at the end of the day, y'all, listen, we adults, we throw some temper tantrums too. Look at me. Don't look around. Married folk, don't look around. Look at me today. That we can do the same. We have these temper tantrums. We call them silent fits. Oh, you ain't talking to me now. Well, yes. You just gonna give me the silent treatment. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong, but you won't open up your mouth and talk to me. That we have the tirade, y'all. We have these rants and these shouts, and y'all, sometimes you throw dishes around and stuff. You just move stuff around. You slam doors, the cabinets in the kitchen. And so we have these grown-up meltdowns. We do it too. Look at me. Don't look around. Look at me. And then we have these tantrums, these whines and these moans, and we have the angry crying, and you mad, and you just mad, and you moaning, you huffing, and you snapping your neck. And sometimes, y'all, sometimes, don't tell nobody, sometimes some people even cuss. Yes, they do, Mother High. But y'all, listen, whether dealing with anger or fear or sadness, surprise, anxiety, doubt, stress, shame, or any number of emotions, it's important that we learn how to handle our emotions. It's learned that we keep our emotions to ourselves. We keep good emotions when don't let them go. Don't let them go wild, y'all. Don't let your emotions go wild. They call it, y'all, in life management skills, they call it emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, that's a big term, and sometimes y'all feel like folk around you don't look around, you're being emotionally unintelligent, you're not in it. But emotional, listen to this, it's the ability to recognize, understand, and manage one's own emotions while also being sensitive to the emotions of others. See, somebody's going emotional right now. It's all right, I feel you. But don't underestimate the power of your emotions. Emotions that can be positive and do good things, but negative emotions as well. God cares about how you handle your emotions, because when your emotions are uncontrolled, somebody, they can result in actions that are not Christ-like. You don't represent Jesus well. They can negatively impact your personal relationships. Come on, talk to me, husbands and wives. Don't look around, but talk to me today. That they make it difficult for us to empathize with other people, that they can cause conflict, they can escalate things. Our emotions, y'all, we have to get our emotions in control. I just want to talk about this morning, because sometimes even our emotions, y'all, they can hinder or block our relationship with God, and they can block the blessings that we can get from the Lord. So turn with me in your Bibles, y'all, or on your electronic devices or to the screen. Stand with me to your feet to 1 Samuel chapter 13, Old Testament book. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 5 through 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. So 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting at verse 5, and it says this. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. They camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves and thickets, rocks, holes, cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and the men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him and welcome him. But Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw men scattered from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal. I haven't even asked for the Lord's help, so I felt compelled." I got my emotions. I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, avoiding an emotional wreck. Avoiding an emotional wreck. So how many times have you made decisions, sometimes really important decisions, and you made those decisions purely based upon your emotions? So how do we free ourselves from regularly reacting to our emotional instincts rather than controlling our emotions? So here's the truth I want you to learn this morning. We must learn to control our emotions, y'all, before our emotions control us. Did you hear me this morning? We must learn to control our emotions before our emotions control us. Now somebody think, ooh, I wish so-and-so was here right now. They need to hear this message right now. Some of y'all won't look to the left or the right. You got a spouse, you got a loved one, you got a family. You want, I hope they listen to what he's saying right now. The pastor's preaching right now. Are you listening to him? Are you listening personally? Although emotions and feelings are, and people in the world of counseling and psychology, they'll tell you they're really kind of different, that emotions are more physiological, that it's what you feel in the pit of your stomach. It's that heavy breathing. That's the emotional side. The feelings are the thoughts that you feel about your emotions. And so although they're not the same, they're similar. And so I use them in the same vein. I use them interchangeably this morning. But I trust that when you hear this message that you'll think about yourself and your emotions and how you control your emotions. The true test, I believe the true test of spiritual maturity, a part of that, is how we handle our emotions. How we deal with stuff when things go awry. That we can stay on the tightrope as it relates to our emotions. That we can balance out life as it relates to our emotions. And we can honor God with our actions and with our words. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we learn that King Saul, that he establishes this army. And this really is the first real collective army that they really bring together, and they come up against the Philistines. That at this point, listen, they're sick and tired of the Philistines coming up against them. That they decide, listen, we're not going to have peace with our enemy when we can have victory with God. That's a message for somebody this morning. That sometimes, y'all, that we cuddle up to our issues, we cuddle up to the devil, we cuddle up to stuff, we try to have peace with stuff. You stay in your corner issue, and I stay over here. Every once in a while, listen, we'll tango every once in a while, but I'm gonna leave you alone, you leave me alone. But the king said, no, we want victory. And so we're gonna go up against this enemy. It's time to fight. For somebody, it's time for you to fight. It's time to stop cuddling up with stuff. It's time to stop being hunky-dory and good with your issues and with your sins and with your struggles. It's time for you to fight. Okay, don't settle for peace with the devil when you can have victory with God. And so Saul takes a part of the army, and they go in a certain direction. And his son Jonathan takes the other part, the smaller part of the army, and they go their direction. But when you read the text, y'all read in chapter 13, it was actually Jonathan, that it was Saul's son, that attacked and defeated part of the Philistine army at Geba. But notice in verse 4, y'all, that the people heard that Saul was the one that defeated them. The fact that Saul took credit for even what his son did, it says something about the character of King Saul, the first king of Israel. And so the Philistines decided, okay, yeah, y'all got us good on that one. Y'all sucker punched us, but we coming back. And so the Philistines decided to retaliate. And so they gathered this much bigger army, so large that the men of Israel, they got scared, y'all. They try to run and hide in caves behind thickets and bushes and rocks and holes. They went from courageous to fighting to they became cowards, y'all. They hid behind rocks rather than trusting the rock of their salvation, rather than trusting God. And so this takes us to our text this morning as we focus on the issue of balancing our emotions. Look again with me, y'all, to verses 6 through 9. It says this. Again, the men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in because they were hard-pressed by the enemy. Listen, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns, wherever they could. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal as the men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel still didn't come. So Saul realized his troops were rapidly slipping away. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offering, the peace offering, and Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. So again, we can see the prophet, the priest Samuel, instructed Saul to wait at Gilgal for 7 days until he got there to sacrifice this offering to God, to get God's blessings and approval as they went out to war to defeat the Philistines. The men from Israel's army were so afraid, y'all, that they booked up. They went AWOL. They ran. They scattered. And so when Saul, when Samuel the priest didn't arrive, what does Saul do? That he makes the sacrifice himself. Understand something. This is critical and important in the text. That God commanded that would be the role of the priest. That was not Samuel the king's role. That was the role of the priest. It was ordained by God. It was by God's design and by God's command. And so Saul was operating outside of his role. Why? Because he was impatient, y'all. It took too long for him for the priest and the prophet to get there. So he took matters into his own hands and he did the burnt offering himself. And so when Saul saw his men running away, he felt some kind of a way. We can put ourselves in his shoes, y'all. I don't think our emotions are bad within themselves. That we all have emotions. We feel a certain way about certain things. You think about Jesus. Jesus had feelings and emotions. When he walked into the temple and he saw those thieves in the temple that they were mistreating people and he turned stuff over and he got mad that Jesus had feelings. He had emotions. Emotions aren't wrong. There's nothing wrong with righteous indignation. But this ain't really what's happening in the text today. That the king Saul took matters into his own hands. But put yourself in his shoes for a minute. You've got this army, and all of a sudden your men, they book up, they gone. You looking around you, and it's about ain't many of y'all left. That he took matters into his own hands. Think about how he felt. But it's really not about feelings. It's about faith. We must build our faith to be stronger than our emotions to make good life decisions. Do you hear what I said? We must build our faith to be stronger than our emotions to make good life decisions. When we react to our emotions rather than controlling our emotion, we can end up living in disobedience to God's truth, acting outside of the bounds of God's assigned will and limits for our lives. And sometimes, y'all, we'll even settle for less than what God has for us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you would experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to worry about stuff. When God speaks the thing, when God says we have victory in an area, we can claim that victory no matter what things look like, no matter how we feel about things. And so while Saul acted out of impatience, y'all, he acted out of fear rather than faith in God. That Saul acted out of emotions. And let's face it, y'all, look at me, don't look around. At times we do too. That when it comes to marriages and communication, that sometimes men and women, we can act out of emotions. We can respond out of emotions. That we got an amen going on over here. That like, we can have some simple issues, y'all. It could be like, you didn't take the trash out last night. You know, and just something real simple. And then he gets emotional. Your food didn't taste good last night either. So I threw mine in the trash. And just crazy stuff, y'all. That we allow our emotions to get out of control and we can't communicate well because we feel a certain way. We emotional intelligence, y'all, to take control of our own emotions and our feelings and how we're feeling about a certain thing, to be able to process it in our mind well and not let stuff come out of our mouths and act in a certain way. Now, how about when it comes to job situation? Listen, man, that job paid good, man. That's a six-figure salary. Yeah, I'm going to be gone half the time. I'm not going to see my family, but, man, I got to have that job because it pays so well. It's an emotional decision. What about your family? What about your children? What about these emotions, y'all, when you're just looking. Men and women, y'all just looking. You go to the shopping mall, y'all just looking. You're not blind, you married, you ain't blind, and you just looking. But you looking too long. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God. But But we let our feelings, we get our senses and our emotions get in, and we look at stuff too long, y'all. We look at stuff too long. Saul makes this mistake of being impatient, y'all, that his emotions are out of control. Let faith in God rule over your emotions to balance you and help you make good decisions. Y'all, let's go to verses 10 through 12 again. I like this. I love this story. It says, just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, get this, y'all. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel said, what is this you've done? Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me. You didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines at Michmash are ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and we haven't even asked God for the Lord's help. We haven't asked God for his help. So I felt compelled, keep an eye on that, to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. And so King Saul makes the mistake of being impatient and makes the burnt offering of God. He allowed his emotions, y'all, and subsequent actions to write a check that is behind in cash. Notice it says, just as soon as Saul finished making the burnt offering, if he would have waited just a little while longer. And that's a word for somebody today. You're waiting on God, but wait a little while longer. God hadn't shown up when you wanted him to, but he'll show up when he wants to. He'll show up right on time. Can you wait just a little while longer? Hold on just a little while longer. Just as soon as Saul finished making the burnt offering, Samuel the priest showed up. If he just waited a little while longer, things would have worked out. The priest would have offered the sacrifice, and God would have been pleased, and they would have stomped the Philistines. Yet notice that when Samuel asked Saul what he had done, look, I like this, rather than confessing, y'all, and repenting, because he knew he was wrong, Saul instead provided some excuses. My God. When we act on emotions that are out of bounds with God, be quick to repent rather than offer unacceptable reasons. Too often, y'all, when our emotions are out of bounds, we make excuses. Saul, when he was out of bounds, his emotions had gone wild, and so he had wrong actions, and so he has this opportunity to confess, though. He asked him, what's going on? Couldn't he came to... The priest said, man, I messed up. I know I acted out of bounds. This wasn't for me to do. He could have confessed, but that's not what he did. So what does he do first in the text, y'all? He went out, y'all, to meet and welcome Samuel, or to bless him is what he went to do. And so really he's buttering up to Samuel. What's up, Samuel, man? How you doing? Man, good to see you. Man, you losing weight? Come on, let me fix you something to eat. So he's really trying to butter up to the priest. And after that, y'all, he begins to make excuse after excuse. And so first excuse, he said, I saw my men scattering. Oh, it was their fault. If they would have stayed, y'all, I would have stayed and we would have fought and everything would, but it was their fault. What does he say? Oh, you didn't show up when you said you would. Oh, it's your fault. That the priest, that he walks in the role in a sense of God. He's the God man. How many times have we said to God, in some kind of backhanded way, God, it's your fault. God, if you would have showed up on time, I wouldn't have said that. God, if you would have been there, I wouldn't have done that. That he says to the priest and the prophet, the man of God, it is your fault. Then he says, listen, the enemy was about to attack us. So, you know, these enemies around us. And so I felt compelled. I got in my emotions and my feelings. And I offered the burnt offering myself. He acted out of his feelings and his emotions. How often do we do that, y'all? We act out of our emotions. Listen, all four of the Gospels record the story of when Jesus was being arrested. Peter, who was armed with a sword, y'all know the story, that he drew out his sword and he struck the high priest's servant Malchus. He struck him on the ear and cut off the man's ear. And some people say he was really aiming for his neck. But what did Jesus say to Peter in Matthew 26:52? He says, put away your sword. Those who use the sword, y'all, they're going to die by sword. It was Peter's emotions gone wild that led him to act irrationally. Although I applaud his bravery to stand up for Jesus, but Jesus said, in essence, standing up for him would be a spiritual battle and not something physical. Listen to this, y'all. How many believers feel compelled to fight for Jesus and are acting out of their emotions and trying to fight from a political position rather than spiritual? That how many people are bantering to get this law passed to stop people from doing this or that rather than getting down on our knees and seeking God, battling in prayer, battling through our word, battling through the Holy Spirit? How many of us feel compelled to act out of God's will? How many believers feel compelled to have what they want materially rather than waiting on God and end up wrecking your finances? How many believers feel compelled to have someone in your life, you in your feelings, he looks good, she looks, and you feel compelled to be with that person and you know they're not your husband, you know they are not your wife, but you feel compelled? And we end up acting out of our emotions and our feelings and acting outside of the will of God. At some point, y'all, we have to get out of our emotions and our feelings, and we need to start faithing. Then we have to trust God and trust God's word and what he says to us to keep our emotions in balance so that we don't wreck our lives when God wants to bless our lives. When you make decisions based out of balance, your emotions are out of balance, be quick to repent. Tell God you're sorry. Get the situation right, whatever it is. If you said something out of sorts to your spouse, to a friend, or to a loved one, seek to get it right. Get it right, repent, and then move on. And finally, y'all, finally this. Verses 13 and 14. How foolish, Samuel explained. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would establish your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end. Your blessing is over, but that's all right. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Oh, boy, ooh, Samuel, he just straight up, y'all. He just straight up with Saul. He lets them know, listen, you messed up, and you messed up bad. Saul disobeyed God's command by offering the burnt offering when God would have established Saul's kingdom forever, y'all, if he would have just got it right. But the Bible says, the word says that the Lord had already chosen another man, and when we find out in the story, we read the Bible, we know that next man is going to be David. Can I be honest with you? I look at the text, and I look at what Samuel did. Yeah, he offered the burnt offering. It was wrong. But anybody ever thought about the life of David and the stuff David did wrong? that David sleeps with another man's wife, gets her pregnant and tries to cover it up. And y'all know the story. And so Uriah the Hittite, and so he's one of David's mighty warriors. So he brings him in from the battlefield and says, man, go on and just spend some time with your wife. But he has such allegiance and loyalty to David, he would not sleep with his own wife. And so David has another plot. That he tells the captain of his army, take Uriah out there, y'all, into the battlefield, and I want you to withdraw our men from him, and he's going to die out there. And that's exactly what David was a murderer, y'all. Saul, he just messed with the burnt offering, but, man, look, David was scandalous, y'all. He was... Ooh-wee. But here it is, y'all. Look at the text. Verse 14 is key. It's the critical part of the text. When it comes to managing our emotions, it says, your kingdom will end, Saul, but the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. There it is. That Saul offered this offering to God, it was really like a transactional kind of thing. God, I'm going to throw up this burnt offering, God. I'm going to get victory. How often are we transactional with God? No heart, no emotion, no passion. That, hey, we can be transactional in our praise and worship. Yeah, that's what we do. I'm going to throw up my hands, y'all. I can feel good. I'm really thinking about getting to the house so I can give me some turnip greens and some macaroni and cheese. But just transactional stuff. But David was a man after God's own heart. David had passion for God. David had a heart for God. Yes, he messed up, and he messed up greatly. But David had a heart for God, y'all. That David sinned greatly, but he sought God for forgiveness. Pleasing God was his goal. Saul never repented. He never said, I'm sorry. He never said, I shouldn't have done. As a matter of fact, you go on, when they went up against the Philistines and they won against them, that God said, listen, all the spoils of war, all the gold and the silver, all the stuff, all the cattle, all the people, I want you to destroy, kill everything. Don't leave anything alive. Y'all know the story. And so the priest and the prophet, Samuel, comes to him and says, you know what God said, right? Destroy everything. But what's that I hear? I thought I keep the best things for the Lord. Yeah. And so there he goes again. You see his character. That he doesn't have the heart that David had. He doesn't have a real heart for God. And so you know the story, how to read out. Saul got so jealous that David would replace him. He got so mad that he tried to kill David. His heart was not right with God. So Saul was an emotional wreck, y'all. He was like a madman his entire life because he could not get his emotions in check. He did not have a heart for God like David. Listen, when our emotions are out of control or out of balance, we need to dig deeper and look at our hearts. When our emotions are out of control or out of balance, we need to dig deeper and look at our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? God does. The truth is, you can obey God and still not have a heart for God. Again, it's that transactional stuff. It's outward performance, y'all, without an inward passion for God. But I believe when our heart is for God, when we have a passion for God, when we have a hunger and a thirst for God, God can help us handle our emotions, direct our emotions in the right direction, even sometimes when we get it wrong. I love what David says in Psalm 139, verse 23, 139, verses 23 through 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David's life was a portion of success and failure. The fact is, David had a heart for God. Not a perfect man, but he had a heart for God. That's what made David a cut above the rest. I believe that's what makes us a cut above people in the world. Then when we have a temperament and we have a heart for God, that God can help us control our emotions and we can talk to people right, even when they don't treat us right, even when they mishandle us. That we can be so in control of our emotions that we represent God so well that people will see the God in us. Our prayer should be, Lord, help me with my anxious thoughts that come from me, my anxious heart that leads me to do anxious things out of my anxious emotions, things that don't honor you, God, things that don't please you. And so what are our takeaways real quick? What are our takeaways this morning? Listen, emotions are given to us by God, but because of sin, they are prone to extremes. Even in the life of a Christian, happened in the life of King Saul, an Israelite, one of God's people, that he allowed his emotions to be out of control, to be out of balance. And sometimes, y'all, we can either stuff our emotions or they go to the extreme. Some of us, y'all, we can be so emotionless. We just get the stiff upper lip about everything, you know. Everything, chaos has happened, confused, and you just no emotions whatsoever. That's not the right way. And some of us, our emotions can be to the extreme most of the time. That you say something to somebody, just a little, and they go left on you real fast. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Look at me, don't look around. But emotions are given to us by God because of sin. They're prone to extremes, y'all, even in the life of a Christian. Note two, if you don't control your emotions, they will eventually control you. And so don't try to justify irrational emotions that are going wild, emotions that are out of balance. But you want to make good decisions. Know this too. Examine your heart and rely on God's power to change your heart so that you can balance your emotions. When our hearts trust God, we can temper our emotions. When our hearts trust God, it's focused on God, it's focused on his promises, focused on his truth, y'all. We can temper our emotions in any situation. The storms can be raging, but I know what God said, that he will calm the storm. The things can be falling apart around me, but I trust God, and so my emotions can be held in check. Then balanced emotions bring God's blessings, and we can be a blessing to others. With God's help and wisdom, we can help manage our emotions. We can become this like a thermostat that helps to turn down the temperature around us. Whether it's in your home, whether it's on your job. Anybody ever admire people that seem to be emotionally balanced? They, you know, they don't keep the stiff upper lip all the time, but they're never really at this extreme. They've learned how to balance their emotions so they don't fall off. And God wants us to be able to do that so that we can represent him well, and we can help other people too to balance or to temper their emotions in a given situation. You know, so I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I looked at that video, and I was wondering, y'all, what in the world did that girl have in that box that made her go off like that? I don't know if she had some Chuck Taylors in there. It looks like a shoe store to me. I don't know with some Jordans. I don't know, but she wanted what was in that box, didn't she? She wanted it bad, y'all. That she kept screaming out, "Give me what's in that box." But the Lord showed me something when I was looking at that video. Did you notice in the video that all the while this little girl was having a tantrum, that she was going emotionally wild, that her mama was just up there getting ready to pay for what she wanted in that box? It was already hers. But she acted like she lost her mind. I wonder how many things that God give to us, y'all. It's already out, but we having temper tantrums with God, and we all out of control. I saw in that video, y'all, I saw the picture of mercy and grace. That the mother withholds from the girl what she really ought to have given her. That she really ought to have given her the rod of correction. That's what y'all would have did. Right there on the spot. You wouldn't have, wherever you cut up, that's where I'm going to cut you up to. You're going to get it. Y'all, that's mercy. But she stands there, and she pays for the shoes for the little girl. She puts them in the bag, and y'all see the rest, and they walk out the store. The little girl still falls out on the floor as they're going out the door, y'all. That's God's grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. That's the picture of God's grace and God's mercy, y'all. Listen to this. While we were yet still in sin, Christ died for us. When we were wrecks and wretches undone, when we throw in temper tantrums with God and everybody else, Christ came into the world and he gave his life for you and for me. That's God's mercy and God's grace. Y'all, if we're going to be emotional about anything, if we're going to be up in our feelings about anything, it ought to be all that God has given to us. That God, you give me your love. God, you give me your grace. God, you give me your peace. God, you give me your joy unspeakable and full of glory. God, you give me your presence. God, you give me your precious promise. God, you give me. God, give me you. Just give me you, God. Everything else can wait. God, just give me you. Give me everything, God. You give me everything. You supply my everything. You give me, God. You give me. You give me, and I'll praise your name, and I'll bless you, and I'll lift my hand, and I'll lift my voice, and I'll thank you, and I'll say hallelujah, oh God. What's in your box? What do you want from God? It's amazing, y'all, sometimes that when we pray and we ask God for things and they don't come when we want them to, that we take matters into our own hands. And we make a wreck out of things because we are becoming an emotional wreck. What is it that you need from God? Can you just trust that God will provide it? That all the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen? What's in your box? God, I need you to supply in my finances. God, my marriage is a wreck and I need you to show up, but you got to surrender to him. You got to surrender to him. What do you want from God? What do you need from God? What's in your box today? Know that God can supply it. Because the time that we're most often in the emotional wreck is when we don't get someone, we want to get it from God. Are we an emotional wreck because of what this person is doing or that person is doing in our lives? We become an emotional wreck. But can we simply trust the promises of God and allow God through his power and through his spirit to keep us emotionally balanced? The church said, amen. Thank you. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for this truth, oh God, that oftentimes if we're not careful, we can be emotionally out of control, which leads us to say things and do things that we should not do. Forgive us, Lord God, for those times that we've done that. God, help us to trust you and your word, that you'll always do what you say you will do. Even to surrender our emotions to you is what we ought to do, oh God. Surrender our hearts to you to help control our emotions. God, I pray for these, your people. Whatever they stand in need of most, oh God, that you'd supply that need. Give us emotional stability, emotional intelligence, and how we ought to handle your word, how we ought to handle those who are around us, how we ought to speak, how we ought to behave, oh God. That we may feel a certain way, but God, by faith, we can put our feelings in check and always do those things that please you. And we know it starts with a relationship with you and your son, Jesus Christ. That he could have felt a certain kind of way when it went to Calvary's cross to die for sinful people. But yet, despite of any emotion or feeling, he went to the cross out of obedience for us, and for that we are grateful. God, we thank you for Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, really quickly, perhaps there's someone here today, and listen, you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, in this moment, this is what it all boils down to or comes up to. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a mouthful. The Bible lets us know that we have all sinned, that God is holy, that he's righteous, and sin cannot stay in his presence. So as a sinful people, we could not stay in his presence. But from the foundation of the world, God made a way of escape for all of us. And his name is Jesus. That Jesus came into the world to die for your sins and my sins, sins past, sins present, sins future. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. That when we confess with our mouths, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that saves us, that settles it. And so if you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we offer you this opportunity to receive today. And I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to a heart right now, that he's speaking to you. If by chance you're a part of a local assembly, a church somewhere, that's good. If you are not, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church home, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. So already saved and want to connect with this fellowship, or you want to know more about this Jesus, you want to be in this saving relationship, we invite you today. Our ushers are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. And so right now where you are, won't you get up? They're going to lead you to room number one. It's our new membership intake room. They'll take some information from you, and we'll welcome you with open arms. Won't you come now? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. Won't you come now? The Lord's tugging at your heart. Won't you come right now? If you decide after this worship experience, listen, I just didn't want to get up in front of people. There will be someone in room number one to meet you. They will gather information from you. We'll welcome you with open arms. Would there be one? We don't rush this morning. Thank you. Spirit, do what only you can do. Draw them by your power. Draw them by your power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.